Let's just commit our time, please, to the Lord in a word of opening prayer. Let's pray. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee this evening for the privilege that's ours to come again into Thy presence. Give us help, O God, tonight as we would sing Thy praise. As we come around the word of God, may everything be to the glory and honour of our Saviour. Hear and answer prayer in the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Hymn number 265 is our opening hymn this evening, 265, page 283, if you want to use the hymn book. Otherwise, the words will also be on the screen. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. 265, we'll stand together and forget the introduction and sing this hymn to the Lord's glory and praise. Still our hearts before Him and ask for His help as we come into this meeting tonight. Let's all pray. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee tonight, and Lord, we're thankful for the great love wherewith You've loved us. We thank You, O God, tonight that You loved us even unto death. We We thank you, O God, that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son into this world. We thank you, O God, that He was willing to come. Lord, He left the majesty and the splendor of heaven, came into this world of sin, lived, Lord, that life of humiliation and shame. And Lord, we thank you that there on the cross of Calvary, Lord, He gave His life. He shed His precious blood. We thank you, O God, tonight that we can see, we can know, we can understand how much, Lord, we are loved tonight because God the Son gave His life that we might be saved from the punishment and from the penalty of sin. We thank you, O God, this evening that we're in Christ for each one that's saved in this meeting tonight. We thank you, O God, tonight that we can say it's well with our soul. We praise thee, O God, tonight that, Lord, we have a song that is worth singing about. We have something, Lord, worth telling about tonight. We thank thee, O God, tonight that Jesus still saves. We thank thee, O God, tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanseth from all sin. And help me, Father, we pray that tonight, Lord, this meeting, Lord, will know that power, cleansing power in the precious blood of the Lamb. O God, we pray tonight for those still in their sin, Lord, held captive. O God, we pray that tonight they might be set free. Lord, that they'll know, Lord, that liberating power in the gospel tonight. O God, we pray that you'd be pleased to come and, Lord, speak very clearly into this meeting. O God, we ask, O Lord, that you'd be pleased to send thy Spirit amongst us tonight, we pray. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, as you would be pleased, Lord, to work, we ask, O God, that you would be pleased, Lord, to save souls. Lord, rescue them. Lord, oh Lord, out of that, Lord, hell deserving wrath that they're under. And O God, we pray that tonight you might come and save them, O God, we pray. Set them free, O God, we pray. And may they, Lord, start on their journey for heaven and for home tonight. Lord, to this end, bless every part of this meeting. Lord, help us as we would sing thy praise. Remember Sister Helen, Lord, as she would come and minister to us in song. We thank thee for her. Encourage her and bless her tonight. Even, Lord, as she would minister to us in song, just draw very near to her. May she know great help from heaven. Lord, even tonight we pray. Remember our brother, the Reverend Knowles, tonight as we had come and minister and open up the scriptures of truth. Lord, we thank thee for him. We thank thee, Lord, for the day you saved him. We thank the Lord for that day you called him into the ministry. And, O God, we thank thee for what you're doing for him and through him there in London. And, O God, we pray that you'll encourage him and bless him tonight, Lord, even as he would be back, Lord, in his home congregation this evening. Lord, just take him up and use him, we pray, beyond him all that he would need. Bless, Lord, there in South Grove. O God, we pray that you continue to build up the work of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We rejoice, O Lord, in the good hand of the Lord that has been upon that work. And Lord, we pray you'll continue to take it forward in the days and weeks and months that lie ahead in thy gracious will. And O God, we pray that you be pleased, Lord, to work in our own city tonight. Remember Belfast, remember the capital city here. O God, we pray that you will be pleased, Lord, to create, Lord, that desire, Lord, that concern, Lord, after the things of God. We ask, O God, especially, Lord, for this east part of the city. O God, we pray that you'll come by thy Holy Spirit, Lord. Save souls, we pray. Work into hearts, work into homes, work into families. Tonight we pray, and Lord, create that turning and cause that turning onto thyself. So, Lord, just bless the going forth of thy word across our land, across our province, across our nation at this time. O God, we pray, be pleased to bless the going forth of thy word. And, Lord, may there be signs to follow the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Remember, Lord, those tonight who cannot gather with us. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell tonight. Remember especially, Lord, those in hospital. Draw near to them. Remember Richard, touch him in his body, and our sister Margaret as well. Touch them, O God, we pray. Remember their families, Lord, as they would come and go, Lord, as they would care. We just pray, Lord, that they might know the strengthening hand of the Lord as well. And for others, Lord, who need the touch of the Lord upon them at this time, O God, we pray, draw near. And, O God, we pray you'll be pleased to answer prayer for them. And very soon we'll see them back once again in the house of the Lord. So do our hearts good tonight, we pray. Bless us, we ask of thee. Bring glory and honour to thy great name. Hear and answer prayer. In the Saviour's name we ask all of these things. And for his honour and glory alone we pray. Amen. Amen. It's always a joy to have our sister Helen McGill, with us tonight. And also Shane as well, glad to have you both here this evening. Welcome you warmly in the Saviour's name. Helen, it's always a pleasure to have you. We ask you to come and sing for us just now. The Lord bless you.
No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I shall be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Trump begins to sound, we will then be heaven bound. We'll meet Jesus in the sky, in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, what joy on heaven's shore when we meet to part no more. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Helen, thank you so much. As always, your ministry and song is a blessing to us. And thank you for that lovely message and song. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I wonder tonight, have you that assurance? Can you say that But you will see the Savior ready to meet him. Ready to meet him as your Savior, not as your judge. And if not, you're not ready tonight, may the Lord be pleased to speak to your heart and bring you to himself. We'll hear from Helen in just a little moment's time. Can I, at this stage, bid you all welcome in the Savior's great and worthy name. We thank you for being with us tonight, and we welcome you all tonight in the Savior's great name. Also, to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well. We are delighted to have Helen and Shane. We're also delighted to be able to welcome back to his home congregation, the Reverend Philip Knowles. We'll have to give him his full, proper title, but we all know him just as Philip. And we're delighted to have Philip back with us tonight. As you know, God's serving us ministering there in Southgrove, in Walthamstow, in London, and has been there now the past number of years. We're glad that he's able to be with us tonight over for the weekend, and thank him for making it possible to come tonight and to bring a little report of the work there in London, and then to share the word of the Lord with us this evening. Philip, you're very, very welcome. Pray the Lord to bless you as you speak to us later on. There will be supper for you all tonight, so we welcome you, invite you to stay behind. It'll be an opportunity for you to get to have a word with Philip, and so don't rush away. If you can stay behind, please, there's supper for you after the meeting tonight. Then Tuesday at 6:30, the Explorers Bible Club here in the church for the boys and girls. And also on Tuesday at 8 o'clock is the prayer meeting and Bible study. And we'll be bringing our studies in John 17 to a conclusion, God willing, on Tuesday night. Then on Thursday night, the LDBS recordings taking place in Lurgan. Thank you to all those who have signed up to be a part of the congregation, and we appreciate your willingness to help. So the bus is leaving the church here at 6:30. So if you've got your name on that list, then please remember, be here for 6:30, and the bus will transport you down to the recordings. There'll be a cup of tea and something to eat just before the recordings on Thursday night. And thank you again for your help. Friday night, our youth fellowship will be meeting here in the church, and Paul will be speaking on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day is Remembrance Sunday, and we start off with our Sunday school and Bible class at 10:15, our morning worship at 11:30, and then our annual Remembrance and Wreath Laying ceremony at 6:30. We'll also have the Sunday school over in Redburn next Sunday afternoon at 2:30. Next Sunday night, we'll have the various members of the security forces along to Lairies and other dignitaries as well. And I trust that you'll make this service known to as many as possible, invite as many as possible along to the special service. It's always a highlight in our calendar. And so I trust that you'll make this widely known and invite as many as long as possible along to that remembrance service next Sunday at 6:30. Our brother, Mr. Sandy Boyd, who has retired from the PSNI and formerly served in the RUC, and has laid wreaths for us in the past, an elder in our church in Crossgar. Sandy will be testifying next Sunday night in that remembrance service, and we're looking forward to hearing him next Sunday evening. And there'll be supper as well for everyone after the meeting. Do remember the shoebox appeal. This is your last week to get your shoeboxes in. Please do get them in next weekend at the very latest, because they will be collected on Monday week, tomorrow week. Do remember those who are unwell. Remember Brother Richard, who is in hospital and awaiting a procedure, God willing, tomorrow. Then also our sister Margaret Grigg Alvin's dear wife, who's also, looks like she has also suffered a heart attack. And do remember Margaret, please, in your prayers, as they are both in hospital at this time, for Richard and for Margaret. And also others, many others in our church who are going through a time of sickness as well. Let the Bible Speak calendar for next year is available. Price £4. I think that's £4. I don't actually know what price it is. But whatever price it is, it's not very dear and not break the bank. So if you would like one, take one with you. We do not buy or sell on the Lord's Day. And then you can pay at another time. Also, the Vision magazines are still available. If you didn't get your copy this morning, please do take one with you. They're free of charge. If you're visiting with us, then we encourage you to take one as well with you. You're more than welcome to do so. And also, enclosed in the Vision magazine is the Missionary Council update and also an update on the work in Convoy there in County Donegal. Been asked to announce special ministry meetings in our Dromore Church for Monday the 20th to Friday the 24th of November, each night at 8 o'clock. The Reverends John Greer, David Park and Samuel Murray are the speakers. Little leaflets there giving you more details. These are all the announcements. Remember, the offering box is available as you leave. And as always, we make these announcements subject to the will of the Lord. But we welcome you warmly to those who are visiting with us tonight. We welcome you warmly in the Saviour's name. Thank you for your presence and for your support here tonight. Let's sing another hymn, please, at the stage just before our sister Helen comes and sings for us again. 314, My Happy Soul Rejoices. The sky is bright above. I'll join the heavenly voices and sing redeeming love. 314 will stand as we sing this hymn again, please. Sister Helen to come and sing for us again just at this stage. The Lord bless you. Thank you. Again, our thanks to you, Helen, for your help in this meeting tonight. Thank you for ministering song, as always. What a blessing it is to our hearts. So as we said tonight, we're also delighted to have one of our own back with us tonight. Brother Philip brought up in this congregation and called to full-time service from the work of God here and serving the Lord over there in the capital city of London. Originally went over to Lewis and then moved to South Grove, Walthamstow in the city of London. If you've been in London, then I trust that you've been to see Philip. And if you haven't been to see him, then he will be very cross. Because if you go to London, you must go to see Philip, Valentina, Joshua, Josiah and Jessica. And visit the church there in Walthamstow. It's my pleasure to be over for, along with others as well from the congregation, at his service of induction, and then to be over last year as well with our brother John to take the services for him last summer. The joy to see the work of God going forward there, real encouragement to see how the Lord is blessing God's servant there, and we are encouraged by that, and we're delighted that he's able to come tonight. He's going to tell us a little about the work and then bring the word of God to us. Philip, the Lord richly bless you. As you come and speak to us now, God bless you.
I'd like to thank Reverend Wilson for the words of insight and the welcome here to bring forth the Word of God. It's good to be with you all. We have fond memories of growing up. It's good to see a lot of people here tonight, and as well, of course, as well, thank you for singing as well tonight as well, if we never get the singers too. And so we thank everybody for being here tonight, and God willing, after we'll renew fellowship. But from Valentina, Joshua, Josiah, and Jessica, they do extend their prayers, tell everybody they said hello and how they miss everyone. And again, every time I come, which is very rarely, but they do want to come over. Joshua tries to try and book wee flights as well there. Josiah's convinced Jessica wants to see where she was born. Whether she knows that or not, I don't know. But so we'll get over at some point that they can see everybody and renew fellowship. But as you know, as you see their pictures on Facebook, whatever it may be, you can see the difference themselves, how they've all grown up. Well, Joshua, he's taller than me now. They're all doing well at school, and they've all changed throughout the year, so it's good to see that as well. As far as accents go, we say this on many occasions. People ask, have they got any particular accents, you know, things. Joshua, he still has his wee Belfast, Northern Ireland accent. Josiah is in between the two. And Jessica, she has a full now English accent. That's because really England is all she has ever known. And so we thank you as a family for your prayers, your support. For those who have come over and have seen the work as well, we thank you for that there. And for those still to come, anytime you're passing through London or you want to come by, please do so, and we'll be glad to have you. If you're doing Christmas shopping or anything this week, the lights went up in London officially, and so you can come over if you're doing any shopping, want to see the lights pop in as well, and we'll be glad to have you. You may wonder, where is Walthamstow? Well, it depends what way you travel, but from Victoria train station, we are the Victoria Line, straight down to the bottom in Walthamstow, and then it's only about 5 minutes, 10 minutes around the corner from the church. So it's very, very easy to get to, and I do encourage you to come along. Time has flown, I have to say. Last week we were in London for 2 years, and certainly in that 2 years we can say hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We can say the Lord has done great things for his own honour and his own glory, and we rejoice that the Lord has blessed the work there. Obviously, the work had a good foundation, the Reverend Gordon Ferguson and the Reverend Patrick Baker. So I simply follow in the steps of good men and seek to continue to preach the gospel where these men left off. But just a brief, some thoughts. We're glad to say that certainly in the work itself, believers have been strengthened in the growth in grace. One man said to me that he sort of feels we're growing to higher ground, which is good, I suppose, in a sense that gives you an indication that people are enjoying the word, the messages. We thank God for that. The church attendance has grown. Obviously, I came after COVID, and you know yourself, in COVID, people moved house or people moved church for various reasons. And so I came sort of after COVID rebuild, but God has been blessing. People have been coming in. The Lord has brought faces in, new people in, and we thank God for that. So people are staying maybe for two services who never would have stayed before, and that's a great, great blessing. And so we thank the Lord for that. If everyone's there, some people ask what is the attendance and different things, and why that in a sense may not be just as important, but roughly, usually, if everyone's there, because we say we have a lot of NHS workers and nurses, and so some do different shift patterns. I said the other week, we've now that many people who work in the medical field, we could even open up our own accident and emergency situation, that many. But if everyone's there, we can get around 60 or over 60, and then Sunday afternoon around 45. But we know the Lord is able to give us much more than this. Some things that we've started to, as far as outreach work goes, to labour, we started the Zoom prayer meeting, and that's because during the midweek meeting, obviously with people with different schedules and work, some not able to travel with the tubes or the trains or as you know, those things for a while were on strike, and whenever they're on strike, then really it impacts the services. And so we started a Monday Zoom prayer meeting, and we're glad we get a lot of families on that. We get young people on that praying, families, and it's very, very encouraging. And it's really a highlight, in a sense, of the week on the Monday night where people can gather for prayer. And then we started a toddlers group, and that was to get people in from the local area. And roughly we get around 30 to about 50 people in that toddler group. We sing songs at the end, and very encouraging because from people who, when it first started, maybe didn't know the songs, but now through time they know the songs, they're able to sing them as well. So it's very, very encouraging, and we've had some come to the church service from it, some to the children's meeting as well. And so we thank the Lord for that work and how he has blessed even at that time. Also, the Good News Bible Club, we have parents, they bring their children, and the parents stay as well. So whenever you're ministering to the children, you have the parents there as well, hearing the gospel. Also as well, we did a Youth Sunday, and that's the third Sunday of each month. And we have our young people, they take part, they minister in song, and they read the scriptures. They get them involved in the things of God. We have the Let the Bible Speak radio ministry. I've been trained up now to do that. So that goes out every day, Monday to Friday, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I prepare the messages, I edit everything, get the music, the work it has to do. It takes nearly a full day to do the thing, you know, a lot of work to do in that there. But people do come in. People come in from Mr. Ferguson's time as he started it, Reverend Baker's time, and we're glad as well people are still coming in through that outreach ministry. But do pray for it that God will bless. Also as well, we started a mainland conference in the church. We wanted to unite really the churches in the mainland, have that close fellowship in a sense. And so last year we started that, the Reverend Kyle Paisley, he was the first speaker. And so what we do, we take one particular man and we concentrate on that work. And then on the Saturday, we have all the other works represented in the mainland, a report, a presentation, whatever that may be. And it certainly brings the work in the mainland together, and people are encouraged by that. We also started a mission conference. When I came to the mainland in general, and missionaries are hard to get over to the mainland. You get many, a few, you don't really get many. Even when I was in Lewis, I think, when I came to Lewis, they hadn't had a missionary in 16 years. When we came as well to London, though, they had some, but just not many as well that I would want anyway. And so we tried to get that sorted. We had our mission conference. We had Ray come give his work in Uganda, and we'll have others this year. And so we rejoice in that. We turn it into like a mini mission conference, and we pray that God will bless that labour. Also as well, we're very blessed with different cultures in the congregation, many different languages. And so we thought, well, we'll put this all to good use for the Lord's glory. And so what we do at certain times of the year, Christmas time, Easter time, we take one maybe Bible verse. We sit and we get everybody lined up, and then they say it in English, and then the person then will say it in whatever language follows, Spanish, Filipino, the different African dialects, and all the other languages that are represented. It just goes one after the other, and that's a great blessing, a great joy to see that. And then they minister in song as well. Also, we had the Youth Council come in the summer, and that was a great time with them. We had children's meetings, gospel campaigns. We went round the streets, got a good lot of ground covered, and we knew the Lord's help. We also went round all the different sites singing. We went to Buckingham Palace, and we sang Amazing Grace and What Can Wash Away My Sin. And of course, people got their cameras out, maybe thought you're one of these choirs of Britain or one of these TV shows doing some documentary here for the TV, whatever. But people just stopped taking photographs and all the rest, and videos. And then all the other sites we went round, Parliament, St. Paul's Cathedral. And Paul's Cathedral, they have, it's one of the Wesley Brothers statues, and it says, Saved by Grace. So we read out the passage from Ephesians chapter 2, and then we sang Amazing Grace as well. So we had a great time with them. a lot of singing, praising the Lord throughout the city. At the end of one night, whenever we were going home and the youth council were going one direction, we were going one way back home, they were on the other side of the platform and they were going the other direction up to the other part of London. And so we thought, well, we'll just do our theme song throughout the week, which was Hallelujah, 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 Praise Ye the Lord. I don't know if you know that. I'll not get you to sing it. Don't panic. But usually split it half and half if you want to. But that's, well, maybe Mr. Wilson can do that later on. But Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. And then one side goes, Praise Ye the Lord. So we've been doing that all week everywhere we went. And so on either side of the track, we thought, well, we'll just do it here. And so our side of the family, we started Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. And then across the other side of the train track, there was a big Praise Ye the Lord. And everybody again, you know, in London, when something like that happens, you're like, what's happening now? You know, what's coming next? And then the security guards ran out wondering what was going on. Thought a riot had started after some football match or something like that. But it was praising the Lord. And so we rejoiced in that. So we had a great spirit. And I believe the Lord undertook, and I believe even the ones who came on that youth council. I know, again, with Mr. Wilson going to different parts of the world with other young people, you have this desire that you want them to take a bit of that work with them, and God willing, pray the Lord will use that. Maybe they'll go back to that place. But I have to say, a little bit of London went with them, and I was getting these texts, people unusual, whenever they were in work, all of a sudden they found this cup and it had London on it. And I could have played the thing, well, that's providential there, you have to come now to London. But I said, no, just take these as wee reminders, pray for the work. So a little bit of London has gone with them. But overall, we have a great congregation, a great band of people. God has blessed, God is still blessing. And I said, we've only been there 2 years, and we have known the Lord's help. And we know the Lord is able to give us much more than this, and we rejoice in that. And do continue to pray that God will bring more people in under the sound of His precious word. Do pray again for the family, Joshua, as he does his GCSEs, all important. And as Josiah gets prepared to pick his GCSEs, so do pray for them as well. So that's just a wee report, some small things. Anything you want to ask after, please do, or you want to tell me when you're coming over, please do as well, and we'll be glad to hear that. But thank you, I say, on behalf of a congregation and also behalf of a family, for all your prayers and support, not just in London, but all through the years we've been in the mainland. We've been there around 6 years, and we thank God for lives that have been blessed by the word, strengthened, growing in grace, and we pray that God will continue to work in hearts. Now, we'll turn to God's Word. And if you can turn with me in God's Word to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. In your own congregation, we are going through the life of Joseph. And we have known the Lord's help, and we've been encouraged by the message, and so we pray that God gives help tonight as we bring the word. And I'll say it's about 20 past 7 now, so I'll try to wrap things up at a certain point, or just stop and come back the next time and finish the rest, but we'll see how we get on. But Genesis chapter 39, reading verse 19. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And it came to pass after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt
and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers, and against the chief of the bakers, and he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, where the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season inward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, which was bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And then if I could just read maybe verses 20 to 23. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted unto them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. But let's unite together in prayer, and we pray God to give us help just now. Your Heavenly Father and eternal God, we thank thee all that has been done already this night for the ministry and song, even for help given in London. And Father, we thank thee even for calling us even as a family. We thank thee, God, for Valentina, for Joshua, Jessica, and Josiah, even for the blessings that thou hast bestowed upon them, even in the work, and the encouragement that they have been to so many, and even to me. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt continue to bless them even at this time. We pray, O God, even for this congregation, that thou wilt watch over them and undertake. We pray, O God, now as we come to thy word, guide us, fill us with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Father, we pray by thy Spirit, thou wilt come and minister to each and every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. When carefully studying the life of Joseph, you will know quickly that his life points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, there's no perfect type of Christ. However, there are lessons and pictures that God uses in the Bible to direct our attention to look towards the Lord in his life and in his gospel ministry. And that comes from his first coming through to his second coming. And if you summarize the life of Joseph, you will see his life really centers upon his humiliation and his exaltation. And again, there's a wonderful thought there that leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 37, there is a prophecy and a promise concerning Joseph's exaltation, that in a future day, which is chapter 41 onwards, he will sit on a throne, and his brethren will bow before him, and he will rule over them. After that, his brethren despise him, they reject him. This man will not rule over us. But we learn after that God's word came true, and Joseph did rule over his brethren. Going through his time of humiliation, Joseph suffered, he sorrowed, he was sentenced, and he bore the shame. He was despised, rejected, he was hated, he was betrayed, he was sold for money, he was tempted, he was falsely accused, and he was viewed guilty for a crime that he did not commit. Then Joseph, having been sentenced to prison, he was there imprisoned with two men, a butler and a baker. And once again, as we look at this picture, we can see again the Lord Jesus Christ and his sufferings. And we're led to the cross, where the Lord was put upon the cross between two men. And so as we look at this tonight, and I'm just quickly summarizing this, as we think of Joseph the butler and the baker, may we be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross of Calvary, and we learn of Christ and even the two thieves that were crucified alongside him. And may there be that application even to our own hearts to rejoice in the life of Christ. And if you're not saved, that Christ's life will even challenge you tonight. And you will look at his death as the death that is all sufficient to save your soul. So as we look at this tonight, notice some simple thoughts. There is the charge against Joseph, the butler, and the baker. Notice in Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 through 18, we learn the Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, this is Pharaoh's wife, or Potiphar's wife, came unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. Now that is part of Joseph's humiliation. That is his suffering when he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. You know, as Joseph lived in the house, he was a servant to Potiphar. And he was a godly young man. He sought to honor the Lord in all his ways. But this woman, she cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she tempted Joseph to lie with me. But Joseph had this verse before him. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And those are words that every one of us in this room ought to memorize and pray over and quote. Whenever the devil comes to attack, whenever the flesh takes over, whatever situation you are put in, or an uncomfortable situation, something on the TV, something on the site, someone seeks to give you something, let that burn into your soul. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph sought to honor the Lord. And because of that, this woman tried to have this unright, ungodly relationship with him. And she accused him that Joseph came on to her, that Joseph tried to force himself on to her. And therefore, Potiphar believed his wife, and Joseph was placed in prison. By the law of the land, Joseph was viewed to be guilty of a crime. But notice also the butler and the baker. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 1, they had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And that king of Egypt is Pharaoh. We don't know what their offense was that they committed, whether it was something small, whether it was something big, but it did not matter. Because the very fact they had offended their lord, the king of Egypt, that was enough to charge them as being guilty of an offense. That word offense, as you have before you in Genesis chapter 41 or 40 verse 1, means to err, to miss the mark, to miss the standard. And therefore, these men have missed the mark of Pharaoh's standard. Obviously, Pharaoh had a standard for his butler, a standard for his baker that he required them to keep. He required his butler and his baker to have certain requirements, a certain standards to do whatever he wanted them to do. But they have offended Pharaoh. They have done something to grieve Pharaoh, and because of that, they have now been charged guilty of a crime, and they have now been placed in prison. So you have in this prison Joseph, the butler, and the baker. And in taking all three together, Joseph, the butler, and the baker, they are all equally charged, and all three of them are viewed and treated as guilty of a crime. All three are bound and put in prison. And there is certainly a gospel picture there, Because as fallen sinners, we have offended the sovereign Lord. We have offended the Saviour, the King of glory. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that word "come short" is the word that means to miss the mark, to miss the standard. There's a perfect standard, a perfect requirement that must be met. But we have missed that mark. We have failed that standard. The picture is all taken from the archer, or if you think of a football net or whatever it may be, or a basketball net, but the archer, there is a target to hit. And as the archer has that bow and lets the arrow go, it fails to hit the target. It doesn't even come close. And therefore, God's entrance into heaven is by a perfect standard, perfect obedience. But as sinners, we have fallen short of God's standard because we have offended God. We have sinned against God. We've grieved against God. We have gone our own way. We have wandered off. We love our sin, the pleasures of our sin. Again, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law." God's standard, His law, is a reflection of His own holy nature. And therefore we have transgressed. It means we have gone beyond the mark. God said don't, and we have followed the course of our own inclination, and we have gone against God. We have stepped over the boundary. We have violated and caused offense. Again, James chapter 2, verse 10. "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." And so that's men and women tonight. You may see yourself to be not too bad. You may see yourself to be, "Well, there's not many things that I have done wrong in life." But here is the point. Have you ever had a bad thought? Have you ever said a bad word? Have you ever thought a wrong thought? Have you ever stolen? Have you ever lied? Just to do one thing, one crime, it's to break the whole law of God. You may say yourself, "Out of 10 commandments, I've done my best to do 9.5. But even to fail in one is to break the whole law and classify yourself as a guilty sinner. And all of us in this room are sinners by nature and sinners by practice. None of us in this room deserve heaven. None of us in this room deserve salvation. We are the children of wrath, even as others. So we have broken God's law, and therefore we are guilty. But here's the point in the life of Joseph. The butler and the baker, they have committed crimes. They are guilty. They offended Pharaoh. They're in the wrong. They're rebels. Yet Joseph himself is not guilty. He did not commit any crime. Oh yes, he was accused of a crime, but he did not commit any crime. He was pure. He was innocent. He lived to honor God. However, in order to save the nation, because remember, the whole point of Joseph's life is a famine is coming to the land, and the people in this famine must be spared. And so God sends Joseph to spare the nation. And again, there's a wonderful picture of Christ in that. Why? Because the sons of Jacob make up the tribes of Israel. And Christ comes from one of those tribes, one of those sons, Judah. And therefore, if the line, the messianic line, or the sons of Jacob perished in that famine, then there would be no Savior. And so the whole point is this. Joseph is sent to save a people from this famine, to spare their life, and all has Christ in view. And so Joseph is there, guilty, charged, but not for himself. He's taken this charge. He has submitted himself to the will of God. He's there to save the nation, and he's numbered among the transgressors. He's charged as guilty as with the two other men, but they are offenders. But he himself is not there for any crime that he committed. And that leads us to the cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross alongside two other men who were natural offenders. The Bible says in Mark chapter 15, verse 27, "And with him they crucified two thieves, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Mark 15, 28. "The scripture was fulfilled, which saith he was numbered with the transgressors." And again, that's a quote from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. And so the Lord is there upon the cross. And you know he is the spotless one. He is the pure one. He is the sinless one. He's not there for any crime that he committed. But he is there on behalf of sinners he came to save. But the two men on either side, they deserve to be there. For they are rightful offenders. And therefore, child of God tonight, before you were saved by the Savior, never forget that you were lost in sin. Before you received pardon, you had offended God. Before you had life in Christ, you were dead in trespasses and in sin. Before you became a friend of God, you were an enemy to God. Before you sought to live to honor God, your life was a dishonor to the Lord. You live for self, you live for pleasure. But hallelujah, in the Lord saving you, he has set you free from sin's power and sin's penalty. He's removed the burden of sin. He has saved your precious soul, and he has redeemed you. He's taken your sins and borne them and blotted them out with a perfect salvation. You've been set free to live on to Christ. And so what a joy that is in the gospel. Christ was not there for any sin of his own, but he was there taking responsibility for all the sins of all his people. And therefore, men and women tonight, outside of Christ, you need to realize that you naturally are a lost sinner. Where you're sitting right now in your sin, you're lost. You're an enemy to God. You're under the wrath of God. And by God's holy law, you are guilty of sin. You have offended God. And you will face the consequences of your sin. That's the charge against Joseph the butler and the baker. But notice secondly, the condemnation of Joseph the butler and the baker. The very fact we read in Genesis 39, verse 20, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison." This teaches that Joseph was under condemnation. Also the butler and the baker. In chapter 40, verse 2, "Pharaoh was wroth against his two officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers." That word wroth, as you have before you in Genesis 40, verse 2, means wrath or to be wrathful. So Pharaoh's wrath was fueled against these men. They had offended him. They had provoked him to anger, provoked him to wrath. Such was their offense. They are placed in the prison. And again, there is a gospel message there. For in our sin, we have provoked God. The wrath of God abides upon all ungodliness. Again, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold not the truth in unrighteousness. What is unrighteousness? It is the root of all sin. Whereas unrighteousness is the fruit of all sin. By nature, we are ungodly. And because of our ungodliness, then all our pursuits, our practices will be unrighteous. And therefore, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, because of our sin, the wages of sin is death. You see, it's interesting to note, the baker and the butler are in prison because they deserve to be there. Face the wages of their offence. They have offended the king, and they deserve the full punishment that awaited them. But when it came to Joseph, as we said, he is not in prison for himself because he has not committed any crime. But he has entered into prison by the will of God on behalf of people he came to save, his own brethren, and then other nations that would be saved, that would be blessed from him, delivered from the famine. Again, here's Joseph's own testimony. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 15, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. And so there is Joseph's life, his character. He knows he has not sinned. He knows he is innocent. He has done nothing wrong. But because of this accusation, because Potiphar's wife wants away with him, he is viewed, treated, condemned as guilty and placed in prison. And again, that lifts our eyes to Mount Calvary to think of the two men crucified along with Christ. Because we learn as the thieves begin to talk to one another. In Luke chapter 23, verse 40, they say to one another, thou art in the same condemnation. They admit in verse 41, we receive the due reward of our deeds. These men on the cross, they knew that they deserved to be there. They knew for their offense, for their crime, they deserved the punishment that awaited them. He says to one thief, we are guilty. We deserve to be here. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Holy One. He did not deserve to be nailed to the cross. Yet, he was condemned for the sinner's sin and treated as guilty as these two men. How can this be? Well, the answer is, as we've said, Christ was not upon the cross for himself, but for sinners he came to save. While he was innocent in life, yet upon the cross of Calvary, he was viewed and treated by God as guilty. He took full responsibility of all the sins of his people he came to save. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God took all the guilt of all the sin of all his people and made Christ accountable for it. Christ took the full responsibility for all the sins of all his people he came to save. He paid the full debt of all their sin. Upon the Calvary, all Christ did was on behalf of sinners he came to save. He was made a curse for us to deliver us from the curse. And while Christ was upon Calvary, so we said he was viewed and treated as guilty and to be punished for our sins. You see, as the thieves were talking, and they acknowledged, and one acknowledged, that we are here because we deserve to be here. What did they say about the Savior in Luke 23, verse 41? But this man, pointing to Christ, this man hath done nothing amiss. And those words, nothing amiss, means this man has done nothing out of place. We deserve to be here. We're guilty. We've caused offense. We're thieves. We're robbers. We've been caught and by the land we deserve punishment. But this man, he's done nothing amiss. He's done nothing out of place. And one of those thieves, as he spoke of Christ, this man's done nothing amiss. He could say, here is one who is holy. Here is one who is sinless, because that's what is in view there. He's looking at one who has no sin of his own, but realizes he's there on behalf of others. Christ is the spotless Savior. You see, if Christ was not sinless, then he could not be our Savior. You would not have full forgiveness of sin. But because he is the sinless one, holy, harmless, undefiled, then he is able to be the Savior of sinners. His death was a sacrificial death. His death was substitutional. He took the place. He offered himself on behalf of sinners. He came to save. That is John chapter 3, verse 18 says, he that believeth, he that dependeth, he that trusteth on him is not condemned. For you, child of God, who have believed on the Lord, you will never be condemned. You will never enter into eternal damnation. And that ought to thrill your heart. You're safe and secure in the arms of Christ. But for you tonight, men and women who are not saved, that means the wrath of God continually abides upon you. And I want you to grasp that. There's not a day where you will be relieved from that until you trust in Christ. I know you may get a headache one day and say, well, listen, I need a Panadol and get a bit of relief for a couple of hours until I need something stronger. But I tell you this, the wrath of God from morning till evening throughout the night is continually upon you, and God's law calls upon your condemnation for the sentence to be carried out. And what a gospel message there is. Oh, what a Savior, that he died for me. From condemnation he has set me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith he, have everlasting life. And that's what you need, men and women, tonight. You need everlasting life. And I want you to grasp that, men and women. God's law condemns you. God's law calls out for your punishment. God's law thunders upon you. God's law roars at you. And as lightning, it's waiting to strike at you for your eternal damnation. But there's mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ, because while our sins are many, his mercy is more. And there's grace found in Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight that you will come to him and you can be saved tonight. You've come in here condemned. You've come in here with the wrath of God over you. But you can leave tonight with the burden of your sin rolled away. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And he will save your soul, forgive you of all your sin. I tell you, it's the best news, the greatest news, to know you can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. All because one went to the cross of Calvary, came into this world to live a perfect life, and then offer up that life an atonement for sin. One who pleased the Father in his life, then to go to the cross to be viewed as guilty in order to save. Notice finally and briefly the conversation between Joseph the butler and the baker. If you read chapter 40, you will learn that this whole chapter, or most of it anyway, records the conversation between Joseph the butler and the baker. They are in prison, and they're all speaking, they're having this conversation, and Joseph speaks to them, and they tell Joseph that they have this dream. It's a message in the dream, but there's no one there to interpret it. Now, we're not to get caught up in the dream. The point is, it's the message in the dream. And God has a message for each of these men. God has a message for the butler. God has a message for the baker. And Joseph is the one to come and reveal that message. And again, there's a great type here of Joseph, or Christ, as the prophet of his people, the one to come and deliver the message of God. And Joseph is a faithful message, a messenger. He doesn't try to get away from the message. He had to deliver a hard message, a solemn message, but he didn't stray from it. What was this message? The butler's dream, really from verses 9 through 13. The baker's dream from verses 16 to 19. And let me just get straight to the point. For both men, the message was one of life and one of death, one of ruination and one of restoration. In verse 20, both men stand before Pharaoh, and we learn that he restored the chief butler onto his butlership again. But verse 22, he hanged the chief baker. And notice this at the end, as Joseph had interpreted unto them all that Joseph said, it came to pass. Here's the message. You will be restored, but you will perish. And it happened as Joseph said. Everything took place. And so what a wonderful view that is again in the gospel message. Because as the gospel message is preached, for you today, it would be a message of death, and for you, a message of life. Again, you think of the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he's crucified, and there's two men either side of him. And what happens at the cross? There is a conversation. We've looked at some of this, where the men are speaking. And one says, we are guilty, we deserve to be here, but this man has done nothing amiss. And they hear Christ pray on the cross. They hear those words in Luke 23, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They hear the words, they know that Christ is there to save and can give life. Again, Luke chapter 23, verse 42 to 44. One of those men who can see Christ as the only Savior, the sinless one, the holy one, says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That was a message of life to that man. And that man was saved. That man went to be with Christ. He enjoyed eternal life. It was a message of life. But also Christ's words on the cross and Christ's prayer on the cross to one man was sealing his damnation, because we learn this man did not believe in the Lord. He did not see himself as a sinner. He refused to acknowledge he was there for a crime that he committed. He refused to acknowledge Christ is the sinless one. He refused to acknowledge that Christ could do something for him that no other could do, and that was to pardon him. In fact, one man on the cross, he's crying, Lord, remember me. But what is the other man doing? Notice there in Luke 23, verse 49, one of them which was hanged rallied on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself. That word rallied means to blaspheme, to speak evil of. Why, there's one man saying, this man is sinless. This man's done nothing wrong. Lord, remember me. Another man is blaspheming. Another man is reviling Christ. He's speaking against Christ. Save thyself if thou be Christ. If you are a Savior, save yourself. Never mind me. And that man chose death. That man died in his sin. And therefore, as the gospel is preached tonight, this message, will it be a message of life for you? Or will it be a message of death for you? Will you come this night and choose life? Will you come this night and say, I'm a great sinner, but the man you told me about is a great Savior, and I am guilty of my sin, but the man you told me about, he is a sinless Savior, and he can pardon me, he can forgive me. And will you pray tonight, Lord, have mercy upon me? Will you pray tonight, Lord, forgive me of my sin, save my soul, that whenever it comes to your time to leave this world, you will go to be with Christ forever? Or will you be like the other man and just live your days blaspheming the Lord and leave this place and never repent of sin, never acknowledge sin, and die in sin? And the message has been a savour of death unto death for you. Paul said, to the one we are a savour of death unto death, and the other a savour of life unto life. This picture tonight, as we've looked at Joseph the butler and the baker, I trust tonight that we've looked beyond Joseph and we've got to the Lord Jesus. And I pray tonight that as God's word challenges you, that you will realize tonight, just as Joseph was there on behalf of the nation he came to save, so you will realize the one who went to the cross of Calvary was there on behalf to save sinners, and he will save for whosoever shall call upon him. Call upon him this night, and he will save your soul for his own glory and his own namesake. Thank you for listening tonight.